and I'm hyped on this. He is an NFL, NCAA basketball, and football rules analyst for CBS. He spent 15 years as an NFL game official, 13 as a referee. He was the referee of Super Bowl 52. 22 years as a Division I basketball official as well. Gene Steratore is my guest. Gene, it's good to have you in the jungle. How are you?
Jim, it's great to hear from you, and it's great to be on. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Gene. Great to hear your voice. All right, so we could talk about a lot of things, but let me start right here. There's been a lot of talk about Kyle Rudolph extending his arm on that touchdown in overtime that beat the Saints. Gene, as an official, what are the things that you're looking for, both in live action and on replay, to initiate a call of offensive pass interference?
What the word you just used, Jim, is the most important word when we break this down, and that is extends. Listen, these plays, we all know these plays, they happen so quick. And because of the quickness, and let's face it, many times defensive backs and receivers are engaged in some type of contact, hand fighting. So you look for indicators when you're a covering official. And in this situation, when the D-back is starting to come in to close to Rudolph's body, what you see is Rudolph's arm bent. So when he does then extend that arm to a full posting feel, he creates that separation from a bent arm to a full post. Had Rudolph's arm been extended and locked out prior to that D-back getting to him, then that indicator shows the official, look, that receiver, Rudolph, had claimed that space early enough so that contact doesn't become then maybe as significant to becoming a foul. But because the arm is bent and then he extends that, creating that separation, in my opinion, that's when that now rises to what would be offensive pass interference.
We're talking to Gene Steratore. All right, so Gene, was the decision then to allow review of pass interference calls, which are judgment calls, is that a good decision in your mind? Do you like that?
It's a difficult decision for me, Jim. And just as the catch was, which I was really so personally involved with as well, the only other truly subjective play to review, that is where I think we start to get in a different place with replay involved. Because of the subjectivity, the levels of what we all can look at certain plays and truthfully have a pretty good point either way. And I think that's when the NFL put this in. What they also did, and we have to remember, what they did was they didn't say we're going to review pass interference, but we're going to review a standard to which they would then apply to either remove a foul or create one. And I think that probably, as the year went on, became what we were all, no pun intended, challenged with as the season went on, because we were all looking for some type of boundaries. And I'm sure the coaches were, because, look, to throw a red flag out there on a hit-and-miss play is a big deal in the NFL, regardless of what time of the game that occurs, because timeouts are involved in those types of challenges. And I do think that's where the frustration and most of the questions have arisen as the season went on and now into the postseason as well.
Gene Steratore is joining us. You know, Gene, not to spend too much time on this one topic, but finally, how do you go about then distinguishing between allowable hand fighting and pass interference?
That's the art of officiating, Jim. I mean, it's no different in how much restriction is a hold and how much isn't, and is it at the point of attack, and those different levels. Look, that's what officials are doing on every 4 to 5 second play that occurs 150 plus times a day. That is the craft and that subjectivity and the ability then that once you do initiate fouls on those certain plays, the next real hurdle to get through as a crew, game by game, as a league, week by week, is let's try to maintain some consistency on what does constitute that in live action. And that is that's why I love doing what I did when I officiated. It was that challenge every night, be it football or basketball, to apply that in a consistent manner and hope that everyone else involved in the game on that certain day was doing it in that same area. And that's when you have a well-officiated game. Sometimes there's a little more hands in a game. Sometimes it's tighter. And teams or coaches never were upset, depending on how you were going to do it. Just keep it that way for the day. Consistency was always the most important word on the field and or court every night.
Gene Steratore is a rules analyst for CBS Sports Now. So, Gene, as a rules analyst, what did you make of Mike Vrabel taking three straight penalties in the fourth quarter to eat up the clock?
You know, you've got to give kudos to Coach Vrabel. Coach Belichick did it during the regular season against the Jets. It was a game that I was covering from the studio as well. It is a loophole in the rule. And I believe that Coach Vrabel either had thought that on his own, or in most cases in the NFL, when something happens where someone has applied a loophole, most guys are taking notes on those types of plays. And the irony was that the loop that he may have seen during the regular season, he actually applied here last weekend in New England. And I do see them moving forward and adjusting this a little, Jim, because when you think about fouls that prevent the snap, there really are three different scenarios by an offensive team where they can create a foul before the snap without having the official think after the second one that something nefarious is happening or unsporting is occurring. You could have a false start. Then you could have a delay of game. And then you could have 12 men in the huddle, all of them three different fouls that prevent the snap. And at no time as a referee would I feel comfortable, if those happened in those sequences, to go to that coach and say, look, you're doing something unsporting right now. This isn't good for the game. There's not a good comeback from that I could hear from a coach. He could get upset with me, rightly so, that I were implying something that doesn't exist. I think moving forward, the NFL definitely will look at this. And really, and the quick take on this from my end, look, if there are two fouls consecutively by an offense that prevent the snap, I think it makes it a cut and dry situation to say that the next play will start on the snap and we will not wind and lose any more time after that. And I think there will be definite discussion regarding that play and that scenario as we move forward.
Gene Steratore breaking it all down. Now, Gene, speaking of a coach being upset, Bill Belichick was yelling at the officials during that sequence, getting really salty with his language. As a referee in that situation, how do you deal with that? Like, are you trying to explain things to him, or are you just going to let him rant?
You know what, Jim? I think of all things that I have missed here, and I being on the field or on the court, I think it are those exchanges which you kind of in your own way enjoy because of the intensity and the magnitude of those conversations. And I think a good referee and a good practice in managing that scenario and handling those emotions is that you allow the coach to vent and get it all out and take it all in as a referee in a calm, confident way, absorbing whatever he is saying to you and then allowing him to finish, and then hopefully presenting something back to him which makes enough sense that we can move on from that play or that scenario once we're finished with that little conversation. I always wanted the coach to go first, though, Jim, and get everything out and kind of prefaced it that way. Like, I want you to speak, but when you're finished, you're finished now, then I get to respond, right? Yeah. And then once I responded, usually they try to answer back, and you could always kindly remind them that we had an agreement before this started that you got to talk first and I got to finish. So I do miss those moments, though. I won't lie to you, Jim.
Gene, I love that you miss those moments. And since you said that you missed those moments, like, what was the finest moment you had in that regard? Like, what's the fiercest exchange you ever had on the field with a coach, and who was it with?
You know what? There are just so many. And the back and forths in basketball were fantastic because of the proximity. Football is a little different because you're in the middle of a field as a referee and you really don't get over there until a TV timeout or a downtime, things of that nature. But my goodness, I'll tell you what, if you bring me back, I'll have a handful of them, Jim, and we could do a good 10 minutes just on those back and forths. I would love to do that.
That's how you set that up, and I will bring you back for that. Gene Steratore joining us. You know, Gene, you mentioned last month that Lamar Jackson is the closest thing you've seen to Michael Vick, and you had reffed his 1999 Virginia Tech debut. What do you remember about that game?
I remember that, as I remember probably 20 plays in my career, something in that area where you actually went from being an active participant to being a spectator for the brief second because something just unbelievably occurred in front of you. And, you know, I remember a young Michael Vick who was it was his first start, as you had mentioned, and then playing James Madison, which is a 1AA, you know, powerhouse matchup early in the year. And this young quarterback scrambled to his right. And I remember as I was chasing him that this D-back was coming in with his head down and not head up and was trying to get low. And then just to watch him leave his feet in a way that you just don't see too often, especially in college football, and then do a front flip and almost landed it. And I then remember Coach Beamer running out onto the field, Jim, and as Michael Vick was laying in the end zone, he looked at him and he said, "Don't ever try that again," with this awe. And he was in shock, as we all were. And then the smile that followed that from Coach Beamer after he said that as he walked back to the sideline is a memory I will never forget.
Gene Steratore is my guest for a few more moments. Gene, I mentioned that you were the referee for Super Bowl 52. You have worked conference championship games in the NFL, NCAA tournament games in basketball. What's it like for you as you prepare to work an enormous game knowing that all eyes are going to be on you?
It's the calmness of understanding what you're about to undertake. It's the pressure. It's all of the things that you possibly could imagine, and there is a sense of calmness that is very difficult in your regular life to replicate. And then the beauty of the whole thing of it, Jim, I think more than anything, and this is happening now as an analyst too, which I really enjoy, and that is, you know, what makes sports so wonderful for all of us is that it is unscripted. You know, the ball bounces in a funny way. Things happen in a split-second moment that you can never prepare for. So you really have only your skills and all of the things that had brought you to that point to take you into a completely unscripted environment that is full of emotion and intensity and pressure. And you have two choices. You either embrace that or it consumes you. And I think that calmness, knowing what you're about to undertake is again, I think that's why these athletes play well into some years where we look and go, why would he come back after his fourth surgery? Why does he want to do this? He's got enough money to live the rest of his life. He has all these human things, we say. And unless you have participated and done that at a level sometimes this high, you can't understand that until you have actually been blessed enough to participate in it. And those are the things that you remember, and you hope you never forget them, Jim.
He is an NFL, NCAA basketball, and a football rules analyst for CBS. Once again, 15 years as an NFL game official, 13 as a referee. He was the referee of Super Bowl 52, 22 years as a Division I basketball official. Hey, Gene, why don't we consider that part one, and I will bring you back for part two when it makes some sense and when it's convenient for you.
I'm in, Jim. You just let me know. I'm in whenever you want me.
My man, Gene Steratore. Great job, Gene. I knew it. I knew you'd kill it. Gene Steratore, like bottom of the hour, long interview, and we still ran out of time. There were other things that I want to talk to him about. But again, I said I spent some time with Gene at the Super Bowl, and he's got such an amazing energy and stories, man, anecdotes, lots of stories and great insight. So I knew he'd show up like that.